Hockey Night in Canada, NHL on Sportsnet, Hockey Central at noon. David Amber, good morning.
You know that's too old a reference for, I don't think you can utilize that Saturday during the late game, and eight is enough.
Not anymore.
Reference.
You've ruined it now.
Like a Willie Ames, Adam Rich reference is too much. It's too rich for the audience.
Well, I loved Eight is Enough. I was a huge Betty Buckley fan, but that's just me.
Did you just look her up? You tell us that right now.
No, this is what I'm into, that sort of thing. And I worked Facts of Life into the late night show because Elliot 2 weeks ago, you asked Kipper about this. Elliot 2 weeks ago said, hey, you know, I think we were talking about the Flames. He said, you take the good, you take the bad. Well, Elliot, you know, you take them both, and there you have. And then Kipper says, the facts of life. It didn't go over so well, I don't think.
No, I think Elliot told me really early on when we started working together. He's like, you have to teach the young people about some of the older older athletes. And I think Joe versus Blair is a better question than Ginger versus Marianne. I do think that's more a question for the 80s as opposed to the early 70s. Ginger and Marianne doesn't mean anything to anybody under 40. You know, that's my thought.
Those are two easy ones. It's Ginger and it's, oh God, Blair and Joe's tough. Probably Joe.
Blair's a little snobby and snooty, but I don't know. I think she could warm to on a lovely first date. I think she'd warm up to you, you know?
So it's not like a Sparks Hutchinson, right? It's not, either.
Maybe you're more a Kim Fields guy. I don't know, David. I mean, anything's possible.
I did like the roller skates.
That's right.
Yeah,
some change ups yesterday with the Leafs. Did you get any feeling at all? I mean, you're watching the power play, and with the talent that they have out there, and I know that they're making a change, but it was going so well at the beginning of the season. You say, oh, the other teams will figure this out. You make changes, but how does that talent not score on the power play?
Yeah, you got to make adjustments, and they came out of the gate, if you remember, and their power play was unbelievable. They were, I think, second in October in the NHL, and every month we did a graphic on this on Monday when they're playing Nashville. Every month it has slid further and further down to the point where they haven't scored yet in January, albeit it's early in January. You got to make adjustments. Teams watch film, teams game plan, and they're seeing, you know, the Mitch Marner backdoor low seam pass to Austin Matthews just isn't available anymore. I mean, if people were sleeping a little bit on Mitch Marner at the beginning of the year, they're certainly not when they take a look at his highlight reel and they know what he's capable of doing and how his vision is so incredible. The Leafs love the pretty low tip, basically pot the goal from 3 feet in front of the net play. And if that's not available, they're going to have to generate a bit more offense from their blue line. And you have the ability to do that with the likes of Jake Gardner and Morgan Riley. And we saw that firsthand with Nashville, with Ekholm and, you know, PK both scoring goals from the point. So, yeah, they're going to have to make adjustments. I think the power play is an issue. And I think what it's also illustrated is just how valuable Freddie Anderson is. He's right there in the Vezina discussion, and he has to be just because he allows the Leafs to attack as a five-man unit. He takes so much of the pressure off them. And Michael Hutchinson was good enough for them to win on Monday, but Freddie Anderson's even better. He makes those big saves at the right time, and he allows them the ability to have that offensive freedom. And maybe they just haven't felt as comfortable. And certainly on the power play, they should feel comfortable to do that. So you have to give, you know, Mike Babcock credit. He is shaking things up. He is trying to find some solutions. But yeah, I mean, literally, guys, for the last month, the Leafs power play has been anemic at best.
David Amber, our guest, 7:38. It's Leafs Devils tonight from Newark, 7 o'clock, Sportsnet 590. The Fan Hockey Night in Canada's fantastic Saturday. Bruins Leafs, 7 o'clock on Sportsnet 1 and CBC. Also, Avs Montreal in the 7 o'clock slot on Sportsnet. And late night, you either got Ottawa at San Jose, Carlson and his former teammates again, and Arizona Edmonton, both some of the 10 o'clock games. So,
must see TV. Stay up for that late game, please.
Absolutely. Are you kidding? And then After Hours? Can you have Kevin BX on every week on After Hours? He was fantastic last week.
He's a lot of fun. I think we'll be seeing a little bit more of him.
I don't want to replace any of your colleagues, or God forbid my colleagues, but Chris Pronger we need on television more, and we need him out of that management spot in Florida. Nobody knows what he does. And we need Kevin BX on television more. Those are two guys, ex-players, we need a lot more of. And they could argue together, because they don't shut up.
That would be good. Hire as many analysts as you want. Just leave the hosts alone.
That's right.
Let a host. Yeah. I always say. So Nylander's playing really well. I think there's this great dichotomy. I understand it from both sides. He's getting lots of chances. His advanced stats are great. They do quite well when he's out there with the puck 5-on-5. I also get, but I think that's come in the last 6-7 games. The first 5, he's finding his way. I do also understand a fan saying, buddy, he's got 1 goal in 14 games, and it'll be results-oriented come mid-April, and we won't talk about his Corsi rating or his Fenwick rating if there aren't goals scored by some of the Leafs' best players, and he is one of those 5 or 6 best players.
And, Greg, not just that. You know, advanced stats, Corsi, it doesn't show the guy who goes offside and negates a goal last game. It doesn't show the guy who doesn't get out quickly enough on a defensive zone faceoff to potentially block a PK Subban shot, which ultimately he deflects into his own net. I mean, it's not going to show you all the mistakes that William Nylander's made, and I'm not saying him holding out caused all those mistakes. But again, you said I'm a $7 million guy. You ultimately got your money. Then you got to play like a $7 million guy. The stakes are different. Last year he was making his entry-level deal of $975. It's a different expectation. You wanted, you held out, you wanted your $7 million, then you have to produce. And right now, he has 1 goal, he has 3 points, he's a minus player, he's not generated, he's been, you know, had offensive opportunities, he's played on a line with Austin Matthews. If you're going to be in all those situations, you have to produce, and you have to make the right plays. And I think that's what the frustration is right now.
But I think he's generating chances. I just find Babcock's going in a little more on him. Last January was barren for Nazem Kadri, and we'd say on the show, and you saw it too, the chances are there. He's hitting posts. It's deflecting off defensemen's ankles. He has to keep doing exactly what he's doing, and eventually the goals came, and he scored 30 again.
Yes, but I mean, as far as like zeroing in on players and that passive-aggressive, I mean, he did it last year. He did it to Nylander last year, and he also did it to Mitch Marner. Right, yeah. As far as you know, and picking out your players, he got them going. Right,
and you're not going to hear him say anything about Marlowe or Hainsey. Okay,
no,
that's not going to happen.
Some of the backlash to Nylander is the consternation he put Leaf Nation through for 2 months. So what's going to happen? Oh my goodness! And then people started, you know, sort of preparing themselves for life without William Nylander. Well, what if William Nylander turned into a top four defenseman? What if William Nylander turned into a physical presence up front and a top six defenseman? You know, they started using these hypotheticals because maybe he won't sign, maybe he'll be traded. And a lot of people, I think, were satisfied with where the Leafs were on December 5th before William Nylander played his first game. And now they're looking at where the Leafs are on what, January 10th, and they're saying, so we've locked in a $7 million player, a guy who's Brian Burke is referred to as their sixth, maybe seventh best player at $7 million, and that's going to have some sort of cap complications, knowing that, you know, Kapanen and Marner and Matthews still need to get paid. So people are viewing him, I think, in a different scope. They're looking at him in a different lens. Whether that's fair or not fair, he's essentially put himself in this position by holding out and by getting the amount of money that he's demanded and has ultimately received. And I think that's fair. I think these criticisms and this scrutiny is fair right now. And until he starts producing, until the Leafs start stringing together some wins and he's part of those wins, he's contributing, then the scrutiny is just going to intensify.
Great talking with you. We'll enjoy the late game and everything that comes with it, and come back real soon. David.
Yeah, guys, look forward to it. I'm going to go look up some It Is Enough.
That's right. Very I know it's a late night crowd. I know it's a lot of college kids stay up, but wacky college kids. They have a couple pops and watch the late game, but be really cautious with those 80s. A lot of 90210 fans, okay? You can go there with some Dylan McKay, Brandon Walsh stuff. You could go there, I think.
You remind me of a young Joey Tata. How's that?
Oh, that's
no one's game.
That's the best compliment I'm going to get paid all day. I know that for a fact. Thanks, David.
Take care, fellas.